Open your Bibles, please, with me tonight to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're not going to get there for a little while. I've got quite a lengthy introduction. There are many voices today crying out publicly for the impeachment of the current White House resident, Barack Hussein Obama. I would add my voice to the list of those who would love to see Obama impeached and put out of office. There is no doubt that Obama has, in fact, and indeed, committed the high crimes and misdemeanors that would warrant impeachment under Article 2, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. I have a list tonight of five of those offenses. You could add to that list. This is not an exhaustive list, but I have five offenses tonight I want to list for which I believe Barack Hussein Obama should be impeached. And the first one of those offenses is Obama's failure to prove U.S. citizenship, which I believe is good cause for impeachment.
Amen.
Obama claims he was born in Hawaii, but there is good evidence that he was in fact born in Kenya. There is evidence that Obama traveled to Pakistan in 1981 on a passport that should reveal his true place of birth, but he refuses to provide that document or those documents. He refuses to provide the information about his alleged education at Columbia and Harvard universities, because that may well also divulge where he's actually from. Donald Trump has offered to give $5 million to Obama's favorite charity if he would simply reveal his school records and his passport records. But he won't do that. To date, Obama has not done so. Obama claims to have been born in Hawaii on August 4th, 1961. On July 18th, 2012, CBS News and the Associated Press ran a story about how the birth certificate that Obama had produced was proven by investigators for an Arizona sheriff in Maricopa County to have been forged. And then last May, Kenyan authorities actually reluctantly released records pursuant to their Freedom of Information Act there in Kenya, showing that Obama was actually born March 7th, 1960. In Lamu, Kenya, which is about a year earlier. In 1991, Obama's publishing agency, Acton and Dicedale, released a pamphlet promoting Obama as one of the agency's authors. And in this little pamphlet, it included the following bio of Obama. Barack Obama, the first African-American president of the Harvard Law Review, was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii. The son of an American anthropologist and a Kenyan finance minister. He attended Columbia University and worked as a financial journalist and editor for Business International Corporation, etc., etc. That little pamphlet said that Obama was born in Kenya. And they have since come out and said, well, 21 years later, they said, oh, that was a mistake. Well, they didn't bother correcting that until 21 years later. I don't think it was a mistake. I think they just lied recently, because that's really where he was born. In a 2008 speech before the Gay and Lesbian Leadership Council of the Democratic National Committee in New York City, Michelle Obama stated that both she and Obama, her husband, took an HIV test when they visited what she called Obama's home country of Kenya. And that's right on, you know, YouTube. You can watch her blurt that out. It just appears to me that Obama's entire claim to be qualified to serve as President of the United States, which of course you have to be a U.S. citizen to do that, has been a fraud on the American people, a complete fraud. And that act of fraud in and of itself, by itself, is sufficient ground, sufficient good cause for impeachment. That's number one. Obama's failure to prove U.S. citizenship is good cause for impeachment. Number two, Obama's misuse of military power without congressional approval is good cause for impeachment. On March 7, 2012, when the U.S. was threatening a military strike against Syria, a proposed joint resolution was introduced in the House by Representative Walter Jones of North Carolina with 12 co-sponsors, known as House Congressional Resolution No. 107 of the 112th Congress, which said this: whereas the cornerstone of the Republic is honoring Congress's exclusive power to declare war under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, Now therefore be it resolved by the House of Representatives, the Senate concurring, that it is the sense of Congress that except in response to an actual or imminent attack against the territory of the United States, the use of offensive military force by a president without prior and clear authorization as an act of Congress violates Congress's exclusive power to declare war under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, and therefore constitutes an impeachable high crime and misdemeanor under Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. Good resolution. The resolution was prompted by testimony before the Armed Services Committee the day before by Leon Panetta, who was then Secretary of Defense, and by the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Martin Dempsey. When they were asked by one of the congressmen there, by one of the senators, what their authority was for going into Syria, or for threatening to attack Syria, what their legal authority was, they replied basically that their power comes from the UN and from NATO. They said, well, we'll consult with our international partnership, and when we decide what to do, we'll come back and tell you what we're going to do. I mean, that's almost word for word what they said. And so this House resolution was in response to that testimony of Panetta and Dempsey before this committee. But anyway, that resolution then was sent to the House Judiciary Committee where it died, apparently. It hasn't been resurrected. But Congressman Walters and his 12 co-sponsors, and probably many others, believe that Obama's misuse of the military constituted ground for impeachment. And so do I. And by the way, I believe every American who understands the historical basis for Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution that limits the declarations of war to Congress would agree that that is an impeachable offense. Third impeachable offense, number three, Obama's legislation by executive order is good cause for impeachment. The first sentence of the U.S. Constitution, following the preamble, says all legislative power is vested in the Congress. In a State of the Union speech last January, Obama vowed to take executive action if necessary to enact his policies, single-handedly stating, America does not stand still, and neither will I, so wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do. In other words, if the Congress won't act, I'm going to. Unilaterally, single-handedly. As such, I believe Obama openly declared that he is an enemy of the Constitution.
That's right.
And should therefore be impeached for that reason alone. In the last week, Obama has proven that he'll violate the Constitution for non-American families as well as American families, not only to allow, but to encourage a massive invasion of this country by illegal aliens. The latest round of legislative action by executive action by Obama was his executive order last week to in effect grant constructive amnesty to 5 million illegal immigrants. In February of 2013, when asked specifically what he would do to make sure more families weren't deported, Obama responded, "This is something I've struggled with throughout my presidency. The problem is that I'm the President of the United States. I'm not the Emperor of the United States." He struggled with that, but he recognized that he was not a king, he was not an emperor, he didn't have authority to do anything without Congress moving first. Apparently, his position has now changed. Apparently, now he believes he's the king or the emperor. Constitution preamble says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. That phrase says all legislative powers. And that leaves, by the way, no legislative powers for the executive branch, for the president. He has no legislative lawmaking authority, period. None. Obama's position that he can sidestep Congress and rule this nation by executive order and by decree There's a position that he can openly violate the Constitution. That's exactly what he's saying. It's a direct violation of his oath of office, in which he swore to support and to defend that document that is the basis for all the law of this land. As such, this act should be seen, and any act of bypassing Congress should be seen as an act of treason, and is, in and of itself, by itself, good cause for impeachment. Those are three good reasons for impeachment, all of which stand alone as good cause for impeachment. Taken together, they're starting to add up, aren't they? Number four, Obama's surrender of five top Taliban terrorists from Gitmo prison in exchange for an American soldier who had deserted his camp in Afghanistan to collude for 5 years with the Taliban, which was done without seeking congressional approval 30 days prior as required by federal law, is therefore a violation of federal law and is therefore a high crime misdemeanor, good cause for impeachment. Number five, but Obama's lies to the American public regarding the attack on the U.S. ambassador's compound in Benghazi, resulting in the deaths of Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans, and Obama's intentional failure to defend the attack, I believe was intentional, is good cause for impeachment. There are other offenses that we could list. But Obama's lies about Benghazi, his illegal exchange of terrorist prisoners, his declaration of intent to bypass the Constitution, and his illegal executive actions in so doing, his intentional opening of our borders to illegal aliens and potential terrorists, his misuse of the military without congressional approval, his refusal to provide proof of U.S. citizenship. These are just the unconstitutional and illegal actions that we know about that have hit the press, each of which by itself is good cause for impeachment. Taken together, they form a pretty solid case. Yes, Obama should be impeached. But the bad news is that Congress will never impeach Barack Hussein Obama. It's not going to happen. Or whatever his name is. But Barry Sotero, or wherever he comes from, or whoever his dad is. In my opinion, I have to say that Barack Hussein Obama is of his father, the devil. But I believe that Congress will never impeach this man. And why will Congress never impeach Obama? There's a couple reasons I'd like to suggest. The first reason I want to suggest is because the two-thirds majority vote that's required in the Senate will never be achieved. Even if the House were to vote overwhelmingly for impeachment, which, by the way, House Speaker John Boehner has already announced they have no plans to do. But even if they did do that, there's no way that the Democrats and the liberal Republicans in the Senate will do so. In reaction to Obama's executive action on immigration, House Speaker Boehner last week said, "That's just not how our democracy works. The president has said before that he's not king, he's not an emperor, but he's sure acting like one now." That's what Boehner said last week. So there's a lot of talk going around on the internet about Emperor Obama. We'll see Boehner giving lip service and continuing his act that he's putting on, but he's not going to do anything, because he's a puppet as well, I do believe. We may even see Congress pass an immigration bill or an act of their own, as Obama instructed them to or dared them to in his speech when he announced what he was going to do. So if you don't like it, pass a bill. Well, they may do that. But I do believe that we'll continue to see Boehner take no action against Obama. They will not impeach Obama. Why the refusal to impeach? I'll tell you why. It's because the majority of our elected representatives in Congress are just as traitorous and treasonous as Obama is.
That's right.
Because the majority of our elected representatives in Congress are puppets dancing on a string, and they serve the same puppet master that Obama serves.
That's right.
They won't do so because the Constitution has been scrapped. And whether good Christians want to see it or admit it or not, the Congress, the Supreme Court, and the White House, with all of its out-of-control, rogue alphabet soup agencies, the IRS, CIA, the FBI, and the NSA, etc., etc., are all dictated to by those same puppet masters. But I've come to believe there's another reason that Barack Hussein Obama will not be impeached or put out of office. I may lose some of my audience in stating what that reason is, but that's okay. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I ask you to turn there. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." I do believe, as I said in recent messages, that the day of our Lord's return to gather us to himself is drawing near. I do believe that. But I also believe, as Paul makes clear in this passage, that our Lord's return must be preceded by the revelation of this man of sin that Paul refers to in this passage. Notice, by the way, that Paul says in this passage that this man, this person, the son of perdition, is a man. He's just a man, by the way. He's not a superman, at least not yet. Not until he is actually empowered and, I believe, quite literally possessed and inhabited by the devil himself, which will happen at one point in the coming future. But in previous messages, I've stated the reasons for my conclusion, which I believe is inescapable, that America has become and now is the commercial and political entity called Babylon in Revelation 18, called the daughter of Babylon in other passages, including Jeremiah 50-51. I've given the historical facts that lead to that the inescapable conclusion that the America that was founded in 1789 was very much the creation of religious Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, which is seen in Revelation 17, which is the Roman Catholic papacy of the Vatican, which is also, I believe, the false prophet, Revelation 13. And so as such, the global American financial and military empire that's been built over the last few decades very much is a revived Roman Empire. As stated before, my conclusion that America is in fact the last day's commercial and military Babylon also leads to my conclusion that this man of sin, the son of perdition, or the Antichrist, will in fact come to power through the office of the presidency of the United States of America. My last message, I gave an overview of the sequence of events, the coming events that I see that we're going to lead to ultimately to our Lord's return. I mentioned that the Antichrist is one who ratifies the seven-year covenant with Israel, giving them the Temple Mount. This man must rise to power before that covenant can be ratified. As stated, that covenant will likely be the result of the next world war, I believe, when Israel is directly threatened by Russia and its allies, and will likely be aided, if not delivered, by the forces aligned with the Antichrist, I believe, or the American Empire. Who better to broker and confirm a covenant with Israel than a sitting American president, by the way, as we've been brokering for decades now, by the way, various agreements. So I've gone out on a limb in stating that I believe the 70th week of Daniel may well begin in the next 2 to 3 or maybe 4 years. So I'm going to go out on this limb also. And I'm going to say that I'm going to explain in this message why I believe that our new emperor, Barack Hussein Obama, may well turn out to be that man of sin that the Bible calls the Antichrist. Why I believe Obama fits the description of that man of sin Paul referred to better than any man that I believe has entered the world stage since Adolf Hitler, who is, by the way, also in bed with the Vatican, as is Obama. Hitler was the Vatican's man. I want to state, first of all, that many people think Obama is disqualified from being the Antichrist because he's not Jewish. They believe that the Antichrist has to be a Jew. I don't think that's true at all. Many Christians do believe that the Antichrist must be a Jew or of Jewish descent, which most presume, by the way, is not true of Obama. The only justification that I have heard given for the position that the Antichrist must be Jewish is that Israel must receive the Antichrist as their Messiah, and therefore he must be a Jew. That position is based on words of our Lord in John 5, verse 43, where the Lord Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. He said, if another will come in his name, in his own name, him you will receive. There are two reasons that I believe Obama is not disqualified on this basis. First of all, in all the passages that refer to the Antichrist, Daniel 7, 9, 11, 2 Thessalonians, and the Revelation, there is no indication in any of those passages that the Antichrist must be Jewish. In Daniel 9, actually, it states very clearly that the man of sin will be identified with Rome. The people of the prince that shall come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Indicates that man is identified with Rome, because it was Rome that destroyed the city and the sanctuary. That's, by the way, also indicated in Daniel chapter 7, that he'll be identified or allied with Rome. Also, I would say that John 5:43, as given in support of his position, is not clearly a reference to the Antichrist. It may simply be a condemnation of the Jews' rejection of Christ. Jesus said, I am coming in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. You receive somebody else, but you won't receive me. It may not be a reference to the Antichrist at all. But if John 5:43 is a reference to the Antichrist, it actually does not prove the man must be Jewish, especially since he's coming in his own name. And he's not coming in the name of Jehovah, in his Father's name, like Jesus did. So in fact, that phrase, coming in his own name, may actually indicate that he's not Jewish. The second reason that Obama actually is not disqualified on this basis, first, we really don't know enough about Obama's family history to know what he is. Frankly, whether he's Jewish or not, the man came out of nowhere, refuses to prove where he came from, really don't know his background. That in itself, by the way, I believe is reason to believe that, in fact, Obama could be the man of sin, because we have no idea where he came from. It appears to me that he's been groomed and set up for this position from childhood. So he's not disqualified on that basis. I'm going to give you some reasons why I believe that Obama actually may be the man of sin, the son of perdition. The first reason, first of all, Obama is a very charismatic orator. He's a great speaker. Several passages mention the fact that the Antichrist will have a great mouth to utter blasphemies. We just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself, he exalteth himself above all that's called God or that is worship. Daniel 7, verse 8. Says, I consider the horns, these kings, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Before, by the way, it's a little horn, not a big horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a very intelligent person, and a mouth speaking great things. Several passages talk about the Antichrist having a big mouth, speaking great things. Daniel says then, verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, whose nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. So we read over and over that the Antichrist is going to have a mouth speaking great things. He'll be a great orator. Revelation 13, verse 5, says the same thing. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. The power is given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Anyone who has watched Obama deliver a speech has to admit the man's a great orator. He's great at manipulating public opinion by smooth words. He's very good at justifying his lawless deeds to those who do not know the law. Especially, by the way, to the majority of the general populace who rely on government assistance. He can justify his actions taken on their part. As the Bible says, he's going to corrupt the populace by flatteries. Obama is a great orator, but at the same time, he's also a very blasphemous orator. While calling himself a Christian to appeal to dumbed-down Christian voters, many of whom voted for him despite his openly pro-abortion and pro-gay positions, for which they'll answer to God, by the way. But he has publicly ridiculed the Word of God, especially as to the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality. In a 2006 speech to liberal Christian group Call to Renewal, Obama suggested that it would be impractical to govern based solely on the Word of God and the Bible, noting that some passages suggest that slavery is permissible and that eating of shellfish is disgraceful. Obama said, which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or should we go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount, which he also ridiculed? He then called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, said it's a passage that's so radical, it's doubtful that our Defense Department would survive its application. Obama said, so before we get carried away, let's read our Bible now. He said, folks haven't been reading their Bible, as if he has. Well, maybe he has, I don't know, but I don't think so. In another speech before the UN on September 25th. That's right, Satan knew the Bible very well, Jade, that's right. In another speech before the UN on September 25th, 2012, Obama proclaimed that the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, Muhammad. And he then said, it must be claimed by those in Tahrir Square who chanted, Muslims, Christians, we are one. Muslims, Christians, we are one. Obviously, Obama is far less concerned with blaspheming the true God than he is the false prophet of Islam, Muhammad. Unless I miss my guess, I believe that as Obama grabs more and more power from Congress, which I expect to increase radically in the near future, we'll see more of this type of blasphemy emanating from Obama's mouth. Another reason I believe Obama could be the Antichrist is he does have international appeal, actually. As a man who will be a world ruler, that man of sin must have appeal to all the peoples of the world. Obama is the product, allegedly, of an interracial marriage with a white mother and a black father. He calls himself a Christian while wearing a Muslim ring that says there's no God but Allah, and says to the UN that the future must be claimed by those who chanted, Muslims, Christians, we are one. Though formally addressed as Barry Sotero, he currently has a very Muslim-sounding name of Barack Hussein Obama. With this background, Obama strikes me as a man who can unite the multi-ethnic peoples of the world together as perhaps no white-skinned, a Jewish or a European man could ever do. Speaking of Obama's name, by the way, Barack Hussein Obama, Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know that the Hebrew word for lightning is Barack? So Jesus said that he beheld Satan as Barack fall from heaven. Interesting, isn't it? Obama has international appeal. Number three, Obama is actively pro-homosexual. Reportedly has a homosexual past himself. In Daniel chapter 11, there's a verse that indicates that the Antichrist is going to have these tendencies. It says in Daniel 11, verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, there is difference of opinion as to the meaning of this phrase, nor the desire of women. In Gill's commentary, Gill says that the phrase means he will not be desirous of having wives or enjoying women in lawful marriage. Perhaps he'll change the lawful definition of marriage, in fact, which is what Obama said he wants to do and has done. In light of Obama's announcement, actually, prior to the elections of 2012, that he has decided to give full support to gay marriage, being the first U.S. president in history to do so, a practice that in and of itself will bring the judgment of God down on this nation, just as it did Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. But this verse is very interesting as it applies potentially to Mr. Obama, who brought into office in 2008 a very pro-homosexual agenda and has been pushing that agenda the whole time he's been in office. I've got an article here. This is in beforeitsnews.com, titled U.S. State Department LGBT Speaker Calls for the End of the Marriage Institution, about the Obama administration's hatred of heterosexual marriage. It says, one of the greatest sins of the Obama administration has been the creation of a rabidly pro-homosexual America. And towards that end, he has been frighteningly successful. His influence has opened the floodgates for the enshrinement of LGBT values to the exclusion of the traditional heterosexual construct. Obama's State Department, no longer concerned with any kind of actual foreign policy, is now focusing on events like its annual Gays and Lesbians and Foreign Affairs Agency's Pride Day. At this year's event, one of the keynote speakers was Masha Gessen, noted LGBT mafia spokesman. Gessen is not simply an advocate for queer marriage. She states that the true aim of the LGBT mafia is the removal of marriage altogether. She said this at the Sydney Writers Festival in 2012. I agree that we should have the right to marry, but I also think equally that it is a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. Fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change, and again, I don't think it should exist. This is the true intent of the LGBT mafia and of Barack Obama with their relentless push to force queer values on America. Marriage is an institution ordained by God himself in the book of Genesis, writes this writer in this article. One man, one woman, that's what marriage is. This attack on marriage is a spiritual attack led by the devil himself, etc., etc. So Obama has an openly, rabidly pro-gay agenda in his administration. And this verse in Daniel 11 becomes even more applicable perhaps to Obama when you consider that this revelation that came out a few years ago as to Obama's homosexual past himself. And I had intended before this message to highlight the parts of this article I was going to read. It's kind of lengthy and I forgot to do that. And I can't read the whole thing. This was published in the WorldNet Daily. It's a bit long. I'm going to just read in parts of this. After nearly 4 years in office, many Americans still express frustration that much about Barack Obama remains a mystery as establishment media remain incurious about the Democratic president. While seemingly ready to dispatch crack investigative teams at a moment's notice to probe into the personal lives of Republican figures such as Sarah Palin. Largely ignored in 2008 was research by the Hillary Clinton campaign based on contacts developed with members of the church Obama attended for two decades, Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. 10 years ago, the New York Times reported on a growing underground subculture in the black community known as Down Low, comprised largely of men who secretly engage in homosexual activity while living straight lives in public. Within that subtext, that opposition researchers for Hillary Clinton's 2008 campaign began investigating rumors that Reverend Jeremiah Wright was running a matchmaking service for members of his Trinity United Church of Christ known as the Down Low Club, which included Barack Obama. Over the past several months, WorldNet Daily investigators have interviewed a number of members of the church who claim that the president benefited from Wright's efforts to help black men who engage in homosexual activity appear respectable in black society by finding them a wife. This article goes on and describes how a man that Obama was hooked up with ended up murdered for some reason. Can't figure out why that would have happened. But this article and others explain the allegations about Obama himself being homosexual. The fact of the matter is, he does have an openly pro-homosexual agenda that he has pushed through his administration. So he is actively promoting that. And so that verse in Daniel 11:37 indicates that the Antichrist will have these tendencies. And so Obama fits that description there also. Number four, Obama is lawless. He's a lawless son of perdition. Daniel 7, verse 25 says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws." He'll think to change times and laws. And they, times and laws, shall be given into his hand until a time, times and dividing of time. As Obama announced in his State of the Union address last January, "America does not stand still, and neither will I. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, bypass Congress, to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do." How can Obama expand opportunities for American families without legislation? How can he order benefits for American families without legislation? He can't, other than by taking the law into his own hands. He's lawless. He doesn't care what the law says. In other words, I'll take the law into my own hands if I have to. Obama obviously has no regard for the laws of God, has no regard for the supreme law of this land, the U.S. Constitution. He's lawless. He may well be the Antichrist. In addition to all of these other arguments, to all the above, I would argue for Obama possibly being the Antichrist, simply because he's in the right place at the right time. He's in the right place at the right time. He's at the helm of the American Empire, which I would say, a.k.a. the revived Roman Empire. He's in the right place at the right time. He occupies what is arguably the most powerful office in the world at a time when all these things are beginning to come to pass, as Jesus said. Turn to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. I'm almost done. Obama is not a king or an emperor. But as House Speaker Boehner said, he sure is acting like one. He is, in fact, actually acting much like Julius Caesar did in the final days of the Roman Republic, when the Roman Senate finally surrendered all political authority to the emperor. Obama should no doubt be impeached. But in my view, that will never happen. Obama may well turn out to be the prophesied Antichrist. But by the way, we're supposed to pray for those in authority. And so for Obama, I think it is right for us to pray as the psalmist did in Psalm 109. May his days be few. May another take his office. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 32, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh." Verse 33, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." May his days be few and another take his office. May the Lord Jesus come and set up his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just thank you for the revelation your word gives to us. We do. We are watching and waiting for you to return, Lord, expectantly, anxiously. And we do long to see your appearing, Lord. We love your appearing, as Paul says. I just pray that you give us courage to stand. Lord, give us boldness to proclaim your word without compromise, without watering it down. We just thank you, Lord. You've called us into your kingdom and enlightened us to these things. We love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.